Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We'll hear from Aaron Boone at noon, and Brian Cashman will follow that with their year-ending press conference. So we figured we're going to be listening to it right along with you guys. We'll be sitting here, maybe chime in if there's a little break in the action, whatever it may be, and certainly react to it after the fact. But we're going to listen to Brian Cashman, specifically him. So Boone can say whatever, you know, there's not the, he'll give you a couple of leans, things like that. But let's play a little Brian Cashman press conference bingo today with BT and Sal.
Come on down.
We made the card here, BT. There are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and you can find this on Hoff. Where are you posting this on WFAN account?
Nah, it's on our BT and Sal's Twitter page.
BT and Sal have a Twitter page?
Yeah,
it's been very quiet.
It's been very quiet.
Who's in charge of that?
I guess I am. As I just tweeted.
Well, have you been posting anything on there?
Yeah, just now.
We've been together for 2.5 years.
Let me see the last thing that was posted. That's why I just do my own stuff. Let me see. All right, so he did. It's posted at the last. Let's see.
Prior to yesterday.
Wow. All right, take a guess. So before, and this is hysterical what I'm looking at right now with this game that we're going to play here. But when do you think the last post was? And what do you think it was about?
I'm going to guess that it was you two dressing up in the costumes, Brother Love and Papa Shango.
Oh, come on. That's a year ago.
Oh, okay.
August 6th. Okay. Alerting everybody, Mendy coming up. August 6th.
Oh, okay.
Not terrible.
What's the one before
also
that?
Also not good.
What about before that?
Let's see. Right before that.
Triple H,
July 30th.
Okay, so one month.
And then before that, March 27th. We basically had 3 tweets in a year.
Hoffy.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I don't even know that we had an account. Like you said, you do stuff, I do stuff, Hoff does stuff, there's the WFAN account. Anyway, so...
We're active
so
with that stuff.
If you could go find the BT and Sal show...
Although I will say, they're not like inane tweets. Like a lot of shows just put... I'm not even saying shows here, but a lot of shows just put stupid stuff out. Yeah. We have... So the March 27th was Aaron Boone and Andy Pettit. That was opening day.
Are
getting ready to join BT and Sal. Then Triple H, then Mendy. Right, so when we post something, it's usually pretty good.
It's usually when we have a big guest coming on. There's a theme there.
I'll be honest. I was locked out of there for a few months.
Locked out?
He didn't tell me that.
I forgot the password.
He told me that.
And I got locked out.
Anyway, so you can
check. How'd you get back in? You reset it?
I have my ways, yes.
You can. Speaking of which, don't make me forget, Hoff. You got to sign me in that computer. I got to do a podcast after the show.
Oh, come on.
All right. So as for the Brian Cashman, BT and Sal press conference bingo, one of the words is going to be lanes. So if Cashman refers to lanes, which I'm assuming he's going to, you could cross that one off the list. You know Boone will refer to it, but Cashman might be saying, oh, we like the lanes that Booney picked, whatever it may be.
I don't think Cashman's going to lanes.
Okay.
That's a Booney thing.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd hear that from Brian.
Okay. I would say that he might, but we'll see.
Okay.
Trust our process. Now, it doesn't have to be those exact words, but something that we believe in our process, trust our... The word process, yes, but any kind of insinuating that the Yankees believe in their process.
What if it's philosophically oriented? So they talk about their philosophy and their belief in their philosophy. Is that the same?
No, I want to hear the word process.
I don't think we'll hear that either.
This, we have to hear lanes. We have to hear process. Also, postseason crapshoot.
This one's
another.
A lock.
Yeah.
I mean, this is minus 470 to be said, you know, 10 times. You're going to hear this one a lot.
Now, how do you complete bingo? Because I've never really played. Like, you have to get all the different letters, right?
So,
with this, it means you have to get all 9 to have bingo?
Well, to be honest, I think we have a cross here between tic-tac-toe and bingo.
Well, whatever. Either way.
I appreciate the game.
All right. We got a couple
connect
more for
you. Said?
How about we believe in Volpe? We'll get one of those from Cashman.
Massive theme. He's okay. Coming out swinging, so because I think that's where the gloves get off again, and he's going to be very feisty.
But not Volpe's on our team, and we'll see how it goes. I'm saying we believe. So any kind of confirmed, definitive belief that Volpe's going to be, I don't know about, I mean, like a shortstop, whatever, but that they believe in Volpe.
I think you'll hear that a lot.
Okay.
I think he will double down aggressively. I think you might even get that from Boone, and I think what you will get, and I don't want to hear this, but I think you will get it from them, probably more so Cash than Boone, is that he was hurt, he's healthy, and now he's ready to go.
I forgot one that I wanted to add, but I'll get to that in a second. Okay, a couple more here. Full support of ownership. You know, people ask, you're going to spend money. We have the full support of ownership to do what we want to do, blah, 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 blah. Spencer Jones, I believe there will be at least one Spencer Jones reference in there.
Yeah.
Meaning that when they push it forward, not specific questions, like obviously they're going to reference a lot of different guys. I don't want to put Aaron Judge on here, but I believe now's going to be the beginning of the Spencer Jones propaganda that we're going to hear, just like we heard about Dominguez and Volpe and Rice and all that stuff last year.
Well, because Jones, even though he struck out a lot, did a lot of good things in the minors. Dominguez didn't do quite what we thought, so now you'll probably get the elevation of Jones, maybe the downgrade of Dominguez, to your point. I think one of those, this is a little different down the road, I think one of those two players is dealt. I don't think there's any, unless they can't get Bellinger back, and they elect not to go with Grisham, which I certainly would not, then maybe you see both, but I think that one of those two play. And I also think Luis Gil could be dealt for pitching.
All right, so we'll see what happens with that. Obviously, what they say, the fact that they won 94 games.
Lock.
We 100% will reference 94 games. They'll reference that they had a really good team. Look, we had a really good team. And then one thing, and I'm expecting this. This is why I think there's going to be a little bit of fireworks. I believe Cashman's going to call out Jeter and or A-Rod.
I don't think there's any chance. I think as combative as Brian Cashman has been for years, I don't think he's touching that. You know why? He's not winning that one. Now, everybody loves Jeter, and A-Rod's a champion, and everybody's pissed at Cashman for the most part. If he plays this card, that's ridiculous on his part.
I think if he's going to be asked about it, I would be certain he's going to be asked about it, and I think he's going to call them out. I don't think he's going to let it go, but we'll see. And one I left off, and it's probably too late to add this to digital because they already posted it. Cashman will reference, this could be like a little bonus BT and Sal bingo if you're playing along. He will reference that the Astros cheated in 2017. That's usually a one per year with the Astros cheating.
It has been. I think that would be dumb. And I think that for him, he's got enough self-awareness to know nobody wants to hear that nonsense anymore.
I don't
think we get it.
I don't know. Dove added one as well. Okay. This is a good one. He'll reference that they were in the World Series a year ago. In the similar vein of 194 games, had a really good team. You know, we were in the World Series a year ago. There you go. All right, so we have a few there. BT and Sal Bingo with Brian Cashman at the press conference. That's coming up. We'll carry it live here at 12 o'clock. Booty's going to speak. Then Cashman will follow him. So plenty of baseball stuff to get to. The BT and Sal Show on The Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. And before we get back to the calls on the Jets, you know, we did mention the Giants a little bit before. I do think that we are going to see them add here, regardless of what happens this week. And remember, even if they lose to Denver Sunday, the next game against the Eagles, still important. Like every game, the Giants' big win on Thursday night against the Eagles bought them a few weeks of relevancy outside of just Jackson Dart, meaning that relevancy is, hey, season back on here. So even with a loss against the Broncos, still a big matchup against the Eagles that follows that, I do think the Giants are going to add here. I'm just starting to get that feel, BT, that they're going to add. Clearly, they need a receiver without Malik Nabers. And even if just not for now, like making a postseason push, but to help nurture their rookie quarterback along.
I think Giant fans should be really pumped at the possibilities of what they already have, you know, in terms of these young players. And I think even more to your point, I think more's coming. I saw this tweet yesterday from Connor and
Connor Hughes.
Connor Hughes, yep. He said, sources, Giants aggressive in pursuit of adding a receiver before deadline, believed to be, quote, big game hunting. Not a little slot guy, not a guy with 17 catches last year for depth. And I'm looking at a picture that Connor posted of Waddle, of Olave, and Jacoby Myers. Three teams going nowhere who are going to want to reset some finances here. The Giants you talked yesterday about, how they already made some moves with their monies to free up about $4 million. And by the way, you do it twofold. You give yourself a better chance to win games, clearly, and maybe throw a Hail Mary wild card berth, okay, or division, because the division's a little bit different. But you also do it to accelerate the growth for Dart.
Yeah, 100%. Waddle's the guy that I would want on that list. I'm not going to be opposed to Olave. And anybody that they bring in will be an upgrade. And you pair them with Wandale Robinson. Now you get a nice little 1-2 punch for Jackson Dart. Obviously, the Giants are going to be primarily focused on running the football anyway. But it would help to have some playmakers, like you said, not just to try to win games, but obviously to try and help Jackson Dart. And then you think about it beyond this year, the idea of having, let's say, Waddle and Nabers or Olave and Nabers next year. And now you really talk about all the pieces in the place. And we said that no matter what happens the rest of the year, I do think that next year at this point, it's realistic, assuming health from Jackson Dart, of course, that's the caveat, that it's realistic to expect the Giants to be competing at a high level. You put together a team that they have defensively, and I know there's going to be some changes, some coming and going, who knows here what exactly it's going to look like, but it still should have some quality pieces defensively. If Jackson Dart's here, with Scadaboo here, with Nabers back healthy, and they added another top receiver, Andrew Andrew Thomas and a solid offensive line going into another year, a second year with Jackson Dart.
Yep.
Go win the division. Go make the postseason. Go make a legit run. I really think that those should be realistic expectations as soon as next year for the Giants.
So do I. I there's no doubt. You know, listen, one of the things that I wasn't sure about, and I might have to take the L on this here, like when they made the move for Burns, they weren't ready to win. And they gave up some real draft capital. Burns is making big money. Burns has been one of the best defensive players in the NFL. Forget, yeah. Let alone the NFC. He has been great. You know, so that's worked out. And they've got, obviously, some real disruptive young stars on defense. And if you get somebody like Jaylen Waddle, who's no longer a star, to be fair. But I didn't even realize this. Like, if you look at Jaylen Waddle's numbers, he went from 100. I'm going to go in from 2021 to this year. 104 catches, 75, 72, 58, 29. So it's been a real downward trajectory. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons. Miami's dysfunctional, whatever. I don't even care. We know he's good, but he's not great. But if you could get somebody like a Waddle now, you don't have to waste like a second or a third round pick on that other receiver outside of Neighbors. You already have him in the building. So there's just a lot of optimism. And there's, listen, it's one thing to be optimistic, but it's also... The ground is also fertile enough based on other teams being not quite what I thought they would be, some injuries, some circumstances. Like, I don't want to say the future is now. That seems a little nuts, but it ain't too far off.
BT and Sal on the fans. Get back to the phones here. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Jack is calling from Mayapack. What's up, Jack?
Hey, guys. How we doing today? Good. I just wanted to give you guys a big compliment. I listen to you guys all the time. Right now, the entire radio station, everybody on the fan. Great talent, great shows. I mean, the New York sports ain't too good, but you guys are all doing a great job over there. From the morning show to the overnight guys, everybody's doing good. Very entertaining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Was that Big Hurls checking in using an alias? But we appreciate that.
By the way, keep the praise to us.
So I got a couple little points here, all right? One on the coach, one on the culture, and one on the future, okay? I think the Jets need to be a little more like the Giants. I hate to say that as a lifelong Jet fan, but it's the truth. We need a little swag. We need a little consistency here. We're six games in. Aaron Glenn is a rookie coach. We all knew this. No one said, you know, he was a Hall of Fame guy coming in. He's going to make mistakes. That's how it is. But let's not be the same old Jets. Let's not fire somebody and have another interim head coach for the rest of the year and start over again.
No, they're not firing him this year. There's no way he's getting fired during the season. I don't think he's getting fired after the season.
But, you know, everyone's calling for it.
No,
everyone's
that's not going to happen.
Already.
Yeah. And by the way, Jack, hold on, Jack. We'll let you make the other points here. If the Jets, like, think about the depths of despair with this team. And they're low. If they fired
horrible.
Glenn during the season, honestly, just pack up shop and just leave the NFL. Because there's no hope at that point. None.
Well, I've been saying for years we should sell the team. I mean, Woody Johnson, it's a curse.
He stinks.
I think there's a curse. It's the Johnson and Johnson curse.
Yep.
But he's not going to sell the team.
We got to sell. There's no other path to victory.
He's not going to sell the team.
Well, I mean, that's that exactly. I mean, that's the reality we all live in here. We're stuck with this, all right? But we can hope and pray for better days, you know?
Yeah.
But my thing, Aaron Glenn, he's not an X's and O's guy. He's a player's coach. He's a motivator. You know, he used to play. He's a former Jet. That's the other thing, too. I like the fact that he is a former player.
Why?
He played for the Jets.
Why? Who cares?
I want him to bring in Jim Leonard next year from Wisconsin.
Why do you guys care about that? And thanks for the call. I think that is the dumbest bleeping thing ever. Why would you care if he were a former player for your team? It makes no sense. Hire the best guy. Did Bill Parcells play for the Jets? Holy crap.
He was a corner. Didn't he? Did Bill he ran Belichick, a 4.340.
Yeah. Did Bill Belichick play for the Patriots? I mean, good God, why do you care? That's such a loser thing. And fans do it all the time. It is such a loser thing. I get it. Like, yeah, we all love nostalgia. I do, too. Does that mean that Keith Hernandez would be the best manager for the Mets because he won a ring in 1986?
No, but he might be a good hitting coach.
Or Straw or Doc. I mean, come on. Like, that is such a... I know that everybody gets sucked into it. It makes no... I couldn't care less if Aaron Glenn played for the Jets, the Giants, a Canadian football team. If you know how to coach, that's what should matter here.
Well, think about how much we hated Phil Jackson from a Knicks Bulls perspective back in the day. And now Phil came here. He wasn't the coach, right. And he was in the wrong role. But if he was doing... And, of course, he's a former Knick. But if he was doing well with the Knicks, we would have forgotten about getting our faces done.
Right.
You know, danced on by Scotty and obviously MJ and him. Listen, here's the thing. I hear you. I like this stuff more than you. I always have, and I think I always will. The only way I think it's stupid and foolish is if you prefer the guy who played for, quote, one of our teams, and he's the lesser of the candidates. Like, to me, if it's two unknowns, say Aaron Glenn versus, I don't know, whoever else was, Gannon from the Cardinals, right? You know, give me Aaron Glenn. If I don't know about the coaches, like if they have no wins as head coaches, then I'll usually gravitate, if I believe he's a winner or potentially a winner, to the guy who wore our team's colors. But if you do that just because he was on your team, but another guy who clearly is better because he's done it already, that's where I think it's idiotic.
Right, but why even, like, it has nothing to do with anything.
But it does, like, it has to do with sentimentality, which means a lot more to a lot more people. Like, you don't care about it. Some people love that stuff.
Sentimentality is great. I'm very sentimental. I love sentimentality and nostalgia and all that stuff. It has nothing to do with somebody being a good head coach or not.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
So that's my point. So you could talk about it and say, well, yeah, I like the idea that he was a former Jet because I liked the Jets and liked him play. That has nothing to do with you liking him being the head coach, because it has zero impact on how good he is as a coach.
But again, we're not talking about now with their own six. Think about when they hired him, right?
And people love that.
Yep. Just to be clear, though, if Dan Campbell's like, I want out of Detroit, I'm tired of living in Michigan, I want to go coach the Jets, and the Jet fans are like, no, I want Aaron Glenn because he's a former Jet, it's the height of idiocy. I don't think anybody's saying that. I think when you evaluate the possibilities of somebody coming here, at least for me, I'm just going to speak for myself with this. This part's not even sentimentally driven. When somebody's been here already and operated within the craziness of the media, you know, us yelling on the radio, the newspaper, certainly back in the day, the clicks. If you know our city, I believe it's a little advantageous. You know what I'm saying? Whereas somebody who's from Montana or Arizona or Oklahoma, not that they couldn't be a great coach and get it done here, but they just don't know how our city works. So it could be a slight advantage. So far, it's been no advantage for Glenn because he's winless.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
You want to hear from your guys. We want to hear what Booty has to say. We want to hear what Cash has to say about what went wrong this season and why the Yankees once again come up empty as far as it goes chasing, championship number 28. So I'm sure I expect fireworks, BT. Some people have taken some shots at them. A-Rod, Jeter, we know what happened there. And obviously falling short, the Blue Jays, the Yankees lose things. So there's a lot there. I'm expecting some fireworks today from both Boone and Cashman.
What do you think is the most important topic, aside from fireworks or us having fun with the bingo game, like the most pressing big issue for this team?
I would like to hear about roster construction. Like, if you're that's what I think. But I don't expect that to change. I mean, it's the same old stuff. So I believe that they're going to say the same thing, double down on their young players, and we're going to be fine, and we won 94 games. And so I don't expect I would like to hear that. Look, obviously, for me, what I would want to hear is, look, obviously what we're doing is not working. Like, yeah, we went to the World Series a year ago, but it wasn't good enough. We fell short. We were overmatched by the Dodgers. It was a weaker competition in the American League. This year, we thought we had the best team that we've had since 2018, and we couldn't even get to the championship series. So we've got work to do as far as rethinking the way that we build our
roster. Oh, they're never going to say that, even if we wish they would. You know they'll never say that.
Well, why would they?
Yeah, I mean they're just not going to embrace that. Cashman is not going to give us that crumb, that morsel of satisfaction. You know, the other thing you have to understand, too, here, guys, like, I know we all want certain names thrown around, like, all right, what about Bellinger? What are they going to do with Grisham to a lesser extent?
Yeah, they can't.
Exactly. That's where I was going. These guys are free agents, so, you know, they'll express, hey, we love Bellinger. Grisham had a big year. We'll see, you know, they're free agents for a reason, whatever. There is some controllability. That's a word you probably hear. Throw that on the bingo card.
What word?
Controllability. They do when Cashman likes that. There's some controllability with Grisham because they could offer him the qualifying offer, but what I'm curious about, I don't know if this needs to be central, but at some point I would like to get a clear medical update on Gerrit Cole. Like, is Gerrit Cole ready opening day? Like, is Gerrit Cole going to be ready on opening day? And if he is, I mean, you know, and do they really believe that he's going to be Gerrit Cole? Because if they do, and I think at some point he's going to get back to being very close to Gerrit Cole, and then that obviously sets up a Fried and a Schlitler and Rodon lesser extent dynamic. And then the other thing you want to hear about is, what are we doing with payroll? Because Kyle Tucker's out there, Bo Bichette. Now, I don't think they're going to make a move for Bichette at all. Number one, he's a horrible defensive player, and I think they're going to roll with Volpe once more. So are they going to spend some more money? Those are things we got to hear, got to be asked, and they will.
Yeah, and that's when they're going to say, well, we have the full support of ownership, which is on the BT and Sal bingo card. If you want to play along, check it out. Did I retweet it yet? I think I wanted to retweet
it. I did.
Okay. So there you go. Go to our personal Twitter accounts, and you can find. Yes, I did.
Yeah, those are actually active.
Little BT and Sal bingo. Let's get back to the calls here on the Jets and Aaron Glenn and some Giants as well. Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, good morning, boys. How we doing there?
Good.
Hey, don't believe we're still talking about the Jets. I was kind of shocked to start off like that. But, again, we got to give Glenn a Muji, and I'm not talking a year. This has got to be a couple-year project, and I hope they turn it around. We talked about it on Monday, but it is getting upsetting with Glenn. And it's an organizational thing. Your other caller touched on it before. I wanted Aaron Rodgers. We spoke about this. And the season last year, I wanted Rodgers. He put up some of the best Jet numbers as a quarterback, and we bailed on him too quick. I know it was a Woody thing, but Muji and Glenn should have some kind of input on that and stay a quarterback. And then what we do, we go out and get Fields, and it shows you where our organization is in Pittsburgh. Fields is 4-2 as a Pittsburgh starter. They bench him for Russell. They made the right decision then last year. And he did it again this year. Yeah, they picked up Rodgers. And look at the years he's having.
Yeah, but you're missing something. And I feel like everybody seems to miss this because it doesn't fit the crush the Jets narrative, which I'm always happy to do because they always earn it. But you got to be fair. The Steelers wanted Justin Fields back. They wanted him more than Russell. They did not want Russell Wilson at all. Now, Justin Fields will not be part of this turnaround, whatever, if there is one under Aaron Glenn. But I can't crush them. It's a fairly nominal financial commitment. Boomer was talking about this morning. It's not starter money. It's not backup money. It's Band-Aid money.
For Justin Fields.
For Justin Fields. So we're not going to go nuts on that.
Well, by the way, the overreaction like Justin Fields is a horrible trash quarterback now is ridiculous. By the way, he might have been playing banged up. Like he's
had a concussion.
Yes.
I know. Yeah,
So he's already had a concussion here.
Yeah.
There was some thought, and I saw some reports on this, that maybe he wasn't all there for this game.
So he cleared protocol, but he's still a little foggy.
Okay.
Happens all the time.
And now, I'm not excusing him. I don't think he's a great thrower of the football. However, Justin Fields is not as bad as he was against Denver, which also, if you heard me all week, I've been saying it wasn't about Justin Fields being awful. It was about how good Denver's defense is. And maybe Giant fans are going to find that out with Jackson Dart. We'll find out Sunday. But I think they have the best defense in the NFL. It's not an excuse. Justin Fields needs to be better or at least needs to throw the football, not just hold on to it forever. But maybe Denver's defense combined with not being 100% all there for whatever reason, maybe that could be an issue. But he's not that bad. He's not great. He's not going to be the answer future-wise. He could win you some games. He's not that bad.
He should have won the first game. Yeah. I was kind of enthused. Not getting that over the top crazy, but I was happy when the Jets got him. I thought they'd run the ball and all that stuff. And by the way, have you ever had a concussion like that
you know of? No.
Okay.
Not even, knock on wood, never close.
Oh, God bless you. Yeah. They're not fun.
Well, right? I didn't play football.
No, I mean, I only played tackle for a couple of years. I actually got it in the street. I was trying to score a touchdown to get to the telephone pole. My buddy stepped on my foot. And literally, my face hit the concrete. I mean, wow. So I did, and I had another one in college. Either way, when you get concussed, right, just put yourself in Justin Fields' shoes. It's one thing to be cleared protocol. All right, I'm good enough to function. I'm ready. I can play. But his game is built on speed and elusiveness, and he's not afraid of contact. But if you're coming off a concussion, are you that willing to run? So the best part of his game has been it's been neutralized.
Well, and it certainly was neutralized by Denver's defense because he wasn't able to run anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. But he also looked reluctant to run.
Understood.
Which is what I'm saying.
Understood. He doesn't want to throw to begin with. Like, he'll
throw. Now he doesn't want to run either.
Well, he doesn't want to throw. There was nowhere to run with Denver, which made it so much worse. You know, I was thinking back to, man, have I ever even been close to a concussion? And one time at Home Depot, when I was, I was a cashier at Home Depot, and I was either ringing somebody up or helping, one of the cute girls that I was trying to flirt with there, helping her ring people up. I was not paying attention, and somebody, a customer, dropped a huge piece of wood. It wasn't a 2x4.
Was it hacksaw? So it wasn't hacksaw, Jim
Duggan?
No,
it wasn't that, but something like that.
All right.
Hit me right in the head.
So you're at the cashier, and they were above your head?
Well, think about a huge piece of wood.
That they were getting ready to buy?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I got you.
I wasn't, like, looking at it. It came from a different direction, and it knocked me right on top of my head, and I fell over and was a little woozy when I got up.
So you did. Maybe you did have
one. I don't know. But yeah, I didn't need the smelling salt or anything like that, but be careful. If you're out there around Home Depot and a cashier, you never know what could happen with the lumber.
I guarantee. The lumber. I guarantee Hoff's had a few. Hoff, you must have been nicked up a million times, right? playing hockey?
I mean, I probably did, but I don't remember. I mean, listen, after hearing Willie Colon, after Willie Colon told me that, like, when you see, like, the bright lights or the flashing lights or whatever it is, you probably had a concussion, then I've definitely had at least five that I can remember.
Okay.
Mike is calling from Maywood, New Jersey. What's up? What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. So with the Giants, right, so obviously the ownership is letting these guys use the draft picks and stuff like that. What do you think else has to happen this year to open up these negotiations with Daboll and Shane? Like, do they have to wait till the end of the year? Are they going to do this in the offseason? Or do you think as an organization, if you know these are the guys, do you think they should lock them up before the season ends?
You don't know yet. So it's still the evaluation period. Dart's the guy, we would imagine. Daboll and Dart might be the union together, but I mean, listen, Brian Daboll has not earned, you know, a midseason extension, because you could do it and then you could lose four straight and the schedule gets soft at the end. And if they don't play well at the end, softer, and if they don't play well at the end, then all the good energy of whatever transpired so far goes out the window. You're going to wait. Who's trying to snatch up Brian Daboll?
Yeah, no, you could make this decision. I wouldn't say you'd have to wait till the end of the year. You can make this decision with, let's say, 3-4 weeks to go in the season. You're not going to make that decision now. 2 weeks ago, everybody wanted them fired. 3 weeks later, it's like, oh, let's extend them. And I would keep that. We made this decision once they made the decision to bring Daboll and Shane back. To me, it was going to be beyond this year. It had to be with the thought process to next year already. So this is nothing new. This is not overreacting to just 3 weeks of success with Jackson Dart. I would not be willing to break up that pair, dating back to before Jackson Dart was even selected, thinking that when they do, in fact, take the rookie quarterback, which they had to, then I want to see more than just 1 year. So I think it's just a matter of time before Brian Daboll will get extended here. But it can't completely go off the rails over the next few weeks.
Well, that's why I wouldn't even, like, with a month to go, I'm going to wait this thing out. If I was worried about somebody coming to steal him and knocking down his door, who's knocking down Brian Dable's door? I mean, he's lucky he's back with the Giants now. Let's be honest.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Guardians of the Galaxy mood.
Oh, okay. Is this a soundtrack?
Yeah.
I've seen the first one. I loved it, the first one. I don't think I've seen...
Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Oh, it's a movie.
It's good?
Yeah.
Is that the ride in Disney?
Yeah, it's also based off of the movie and the comic book.
You mean they didn't make a movie off the ride?
Related, yes.
So Pirates of the Caribbean and Disney, they made the movie off the ride, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the movie comes first and then the ride. I love that first movie. I don't know if I've stuck with them. How many are there, Guardians of the Galaxy?
There's three Guardians, but then there's also
this is what I mean.
There's the holiday special.
No.
And then there's the whole galaxy of, you know, the Marvel universe.
Right? He's in that.
Groot,
Zoe
yes.
Saldana is in that.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
I love her.
Zero.
Check out Zoe Saldana.
Yeah. Zoe. But Groot, well, I don't know what Groot.
Wait, do you
he's
know?
He's a tree.
Yeah,
or Groot is a tree?
Hold on, time out. Yes,
wait, Groot. Zoe from the cell phone commercials?
Yes.
Love her. I was just making sure we know Zoe Saldana. I forget who she plays, but she's in that.
Doesn't matter who she plays. She's in it.
Yeah, I know. She's one of my top.
I like where the commercials pop up. I've even actually rewound a few like a loser.
By the way, she plays Gamora.
Okay? Yeah,
very
there you
sexy
go.
Name, Gamora.
And she's also going to be, I'm assuming, in Avatar. She was in the last Avatar, right?
Avatar 2, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she was in all three. Or she's going to be in all three.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Have you seen Avatar?
I saw the first one, not the second one.
It's so good. Hop, are you into the Avatars? You know, my wife wants to go see that one. It's such a good movie. We saw it last in the theaters, and it's coming out, I think, in December, if I'm not mistaken.
Here's the problem is, this is one of the movies where in 2009 it was banging.
Yes.
And then they waited 15 years to basically put out the sequel.
No, but it was so good. Yeah, you're right.
What are you looking at?
That movie.
No, it's so,
I saw that with one of my ex-girlfriends and her family, the first movie. That just shows you how long between movies. Like, 2009 is a long time ago. I remember seeing that at Lincoln Center with my ex-girlfriend at the time and her family.
Her family?
We
the whole family came?
Yeah, I mean, they lived in the city. Whatever. Yeah. I mean,
it's a little weird on a date.
Whatever. It wasn't a date. We were dating.
It just shows how serious they were.
Yeah, exactly.
And how
very comfortable around Sal.
We were dating. Yeah, they like me even better now.
I mean, that he's gone?
No. All right. So anyway, I saw that in 2009 with my ex-girlfriend and her family. Uh-huh. Fast forward to the Avatar 2, and I'm seeing it with my wife.
And like, your daughter can see that, right? That's for kids.
Well, now Avatar 3,
that's
potentially. For kids, right? I think it's a little more.
Is it a little racy? Really?
I don't know about racy. My daughter definitely, like, she's, you know, 4 years old. I don't think she can be following along with Avatar. That's like an adult.
And the first one, they did have a scene, but it was, like, very confusing. If you're a kid and watching that, you have no idea what they're
You've
doing.
Never seen
they part... They were pollinating each other,
Have
basically.
You seen part two? Yeah, I like the pollinate, so we saw down, yeah.
I tried. I turned it off.
What?
It's a four-hour movie. I think I watched like 20 minutes. I was like,
wait a second. It's 4 hours?
Well,
no, you got to be exaggerating. There's no way it's a four-hour movie.
It's close to it.
It's over 2.5 for sure. But it's...
It's 2 hours and 30 minutes. Okay. And that's the edited version.
I would watch it again. Now, I don't know about if I could sit through all three,
mm-hmm.
but it's a nice escape. So I will be seeing that movie. Anyway, point is, Guardians of the Galaxy were not bad. That was a good movie. I wanted to get to another NFL thing before we have Boone coming up in about 13 minutes. I know we get a break as well. Make sure we get that in. We'll have Boone. 12 o'clock, you'll hear from him, the year-end press conference. Brian Cashman then will follow. Little BT and Sal, Brian Cashman bingo. Do you think the NFL is fixed?
No.
At all.
I don't.
I can make an argument that it is.
I know a lot of people can. Let's hear it. I don't believe that. I don't know if I'm convincing myself not to believe that, because if you start to believe that stuff, why would you watch anything, number one? But no, I do not. I believe there's some incompetence. I do not believe it's fixed.
How do you explain the call, and again, in favor of the Chiefs? Now, I am not a conspiracy theorist, and I was more in line with you forever. But then we have referees who are on the take and things happen and we know how much money's involved. And in the game the other night, Sunday Night Football, you had a play in which a flag was thrown far after the fact because it came from New York that there was something wrong with the play. And it just so happened that it was in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, I'm not a believer in it being fixed. I can make a legitimate... How are you, forget even that the Chiefs are involved, how are you having New York go to the officials who didn't call something with the play there out of nowhere? Like, I could see if New York fixes a call that was wrong, or, hey, let's just review it real quick. Was it a fumble? Was it an interception? Where is this coming from that New York, when nothing was seen incorrect on the field, that all of a sudden can insert their power and have a ref throw the flag on the play?
I don't mind that as much. Because to me, if you're going to have technology and we're going to have all these pauses and these delays as they go back and they look at stuff, I would prefer to get it right. Now, I know what you're saying. It's a little different.
But
like,
when does it happen, though?
Well, it happened.
Why did it happen with the ass push play?
Yeah. Did it happen in the Jet? It happened where, now, it wasn't of that magnitude. It's the Jets, and so nobody cares. It wasn't a touchdown. It was either a fumble, was a knee down, something where they got in their headsets from New York, hey, this is what happened, and they very quickly fixed it. It's inconsistent. So that's number one. I'm with you on that.
I don't like that. If they did it for everything, I'd be fine with that.
Yep.
They don't do it for the tush push.
No, they don't. They don't. I don't know why. I feel others, by the way.
Like, it's not just that one play.
I get it. Think about the first question you asked me. Do I think it's fixed? Now, my answer is no. I've always thought that the NBA is a little slanted I also think it's harder to fix a football game. Like in the NBA, whether it's Donaghy with money on the game or whatever, the league's like Stearns, you know, stepping in and saying, hey, make sure this happens, get to a seventh game. You can so much more effectively impact the outcome of a game. Hey, you know what? Let's get Ewing a second foul early. Get him on the bench. Give the other team a chance to cover. Hey, Jordan, third foul's got to sit down. Like, I always thought for a long time, or LeBron, Kobe, whomever, that like an NBA best of seven, like when a team that's in a bigger market is down 0-2, like the Knicks, you've seen the whistle flip in game three. Usually the team who's down 0-2 wins, and now you get an extra game, which means more money, more ratings. So I've always believed that that's part of the NBA puzzle. I don't know why I've never looked at it that way in the NFL. Maybe because my team's never good enough to even get, even if they were to get hosed, it wouldn't matter. I don't know. I don't have that sense.
If you bet on these games, if you've got fantasy stuff, there is bull crap happening every weekend, every game. And then when you throw in the Chiefs factor and this type of stuff, there's no consistency to it. I'd have no problem with all calls going through New York or all significant calls going through New York. I have not seen that consistently. I've watched plenty of games where I'm like, well, that call's not right. So not even replay. Like, they're not getting the call right. Yet they don't go to New York to get it corrected. So how come those calls can stand? But against the Chiefs, all of a sudden they're going to New York and saying, hey, you know what? That play doesn't count. Like, I find that bullcrap. And if the Chiefs lose that game, then all of a sudden the Chiefs, you know, their record could be, and maybe it's not going to be so good for Kansas City, who's trying to fight to get their season back on track. I'm not saying that that particular play was fixed. I'm saying I can make a case for it being fixed.
Yep.
When you look at the Chiefs being 2-4 versus 3-3,
yep.
That's a huge, huge difference for the league. A league that has had players get suspended for gambling on the game. Like, these are not all of a sudden conspiracy theories anymore. There is reality that has taken place in the NFL that is hard to argue against.
I'm also not a conspiracy theorist. I don't really latch on to that stuff. Not that I don't find some of it interesting. I just generally don't. I don't really believe most of that. So let me ask you this. If you're of the mindset that you think on some level there's a fixing element or whatever, you think that's coming down from the commissioner? How so specific to that call? If you really think the NFL's fixed a little bit,
yeah, I think maybe
is that Goodell saying make sure the Chiefs aren't an 8-win team and there's no playoffs for Mahomes and the whole Travis Kelce Taylor Swift thing?
Yeah, now this is nuts, and I'm not saying I believe this, but conspiracy theorists would believe this, and I'm at this point it's hard to argue definitively one way or another against it, right? It's hard to argue definitively when the same crap keeps happening and favoring one specific team that clearly benefits the league. So, yeah, the way that it might work is, hey, guys, if there's a call, let's just make sure we get everything right, especially if it pertains to favoring the Chiefs. And if there's a way, you know, to go halfway on it, I'm not telling you which way to lean, but do the math.
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe that.
It sounds ridiculous, but
I don't think it sounds ridiculous. Okay. I just don't believe it, but I don't think it sounds ridiculous.
Well, if I were to tell you years ago referees are fixing the NBA, now I'm going back many years, you'd be like,
before Donaghy, right?
Yeah, come on, dude. Referee was cheating, obviously, impacting the game, fixing the games. Players have been caught shaving points and doing
for
things.
Sure.
Football and basketball.
Boston College back with the mob up in Providence, Rhode Island, and I think that was the late 70s, early 80s. But some of the CCNY teams in the 50s here in New York City, they were, like, forget about, like, St. John's back then. You had some of these smaller schools that were banished that used to, they were dominant. So, though, point shaving, when you get the mob, you know, back then the mob, I mean, they'd get their hooks in you. I think it's been cleaned up a little bit, but I don't know for sure. What I also do think, though, is that it's become a lot harder to officiate everything. Number one, you know, football in 2025 versus football in the 1970s, guys are bigger, stronger, faster now, more dynamic athletes, more shots downfield, more rules changes, where back in the day you can basically come across the middle and smash somebody like Iron Mike Sharp with that thing around his wrist. Now you can't, so I just think there's a lot of shades of gray. I don't have the perfect answer, but I don't think it's fixed, but I don't know.
BT and Sal on the Fam, we'll take a break. When we come back, we should be hearing from Aaron Boone, addressed the media for the first time, you know, in the aftermath of the Yankee season going home, and then, of course, you know, Yankee season ending, they go home, and then Brian Cashman will follow Aaron Boone. We'll play a little BT and Sal bingo as well. Got our cards ready in front of us, so stay tuned for that. BT and Sal on the Fam.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Gio.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.